episode 606 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode. We're going to be continuing with the Thanos Chronology. For those who aren't familiar, there is a website called Crushing Crisis, and that website has different reading orders. And we have decided, or I have decided, after doing the Marvel Chronology reading order of Secret Wars for quite a while, to kind of switch gears here. So we've switched over to the Thanos reading order. And again, much like the Top Cow Chronology, this isn't a reading order that's done in the order the comics were published, but rather in the order that makes the most sense for the character. So in the case of Thanos, we are reading Thanos Rising first, the 5-issue miniseries from Jason Aaron. Then we go into Classic Thanos, which spans from about 1973 to about 1981. And then following that, we get into the Infinity Trilogy, where Thanos came back and started looking for all the Infinity Gems and move on up into present time. So there is a link in the show notes to the reading order if you want to go and check it out. The 5-issue miniseries, as I said, Thanos Rising, can be found in trade. And I do recommend it. I read it when it first came out, and it's been enjoyable to go back and reread it. And part of the reason we decided to do the Thanos reading order was because the Secret War / Jonathan Hickman reading order we were doing, the next big event in that reading order was the Annihilation event, which required reading a lot of Thanos. And I thought, you know what, let's take a break from Secret Wars. Let's take a break from all that and focus on Thanos, because he's a super interesting character, first of all, but he's also very popular right now, having appeared in the most recent Avengers movie. So I know there's a lot of people that are curious about Thanos, where he got his start, and all of that stuff. So I'm going to be on the Thanos reading order for a while, at least through this 5-issue Thanos Rising miniseries, and then probably all of the Classic Thanos issues as well. And then we may or may not go back to something else, go back to Secret Wars or something else after that, because the Infinity Trilogy, that's about 15 books. Plus, if we do the crossovers, which I'm just not sure how many of the tie-ins that we'll do. So again, we'll stay on it as long as it's fun. We may switch up and do some Iron Man or Captain America or something else after a while as well, because we want to keep it fresh for you guys. So let's go ahead and dive into issue 3 of Thanos Rising, the book we're going to be talking about today. It's written by Jason Aaron. The art is by Simone Bianchi. We've got colors by Eve Zvorchina, letters by Clayton Cowles. So previously in the Thanos Rising series, we see that in the first issue, Thanos is born, drives his mother to insanity. As soon as she lays eyes on him, she tries to kill him. She says she sees death in his eyes, and not completely sure how she recognized what a monster Thanos was right from the beginning, but she did. And Thanos, for his part, seems to have remembered that. But still, as a child, he's very polite and very timid, almost, in a way. And not only does he say that he'll never kill and seem to have much respect for life, he won't even dissect already dead life forms. He has a kind of a weak stomach when it comes to things like that. But he does manage to make a few friends when he's a child, and when they're killed, with the encouragement of a mystery girl, he overcomes that fear, slaughters the lizards that killed his friends, and that seems to kind of open a door for him, and he begins to kill and experiment on bigger and bigger animals that are native to Titan, until eventually he's killing fellow Titans, hoping to discover what makes him so different. And finally, when this mystery girl, who seems to have some kind of very strong link with Thanos, and Thanos seems to, for his part, think that he's in love with her, when the girl rejects his advances, Thanos finally kills the one person that saw his evil all along, namely his own mother. So we saw him with his mother strapped down to his dissecting table at the end of last issue. this issue picks up right where that left off, with Thanos saying that he knows it sounds ludicrous, but sometimes he can remember the day that he was born and how he can remember his mother first holding him and looking upon him in horror and picking up the scalpel and trying to kill him. And Thanos then apologizes to the corpse of his mother, saying, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry they wouldn't let you." So clearly, Thanos did not find what he was seeking inside his mother, despite the fact that he was hoping that he would cut his mother open and find out what exactly it is about him that makes him so different and so capable of evil. So many, many months later, we see that Thanos has actually found a wife and sired a child. And as he climbs out of bed one night, she asks where he's going. He says nowhere. Go back to sleep. And she asks if he'll check on the baby, and he says he will, but instead he leaves. He walks out the door, and we get some dialogue boxes as he's walking through the streets telling us that on the day Thanos' mother died, he disappeared from Titan. He made his way to the outer rim of the galaxy, where law was scarce and life was cheap, and no one would notice just one more murderer among many. And he's out there, and he's kind of searching for himself. So instead of taking more lives, he's taken many already. For the first time, Thanos is actually creating life. He's siring a son, you know, a wife. And Thanos, he was at a crossroads at that point. He could have chosen to stay there with his wife and child and perhaps built a life, something that resembled something more normal than anything he had back on Titan. But instead, he chose to leave in the middle of his night. He turned away from that, and he ends up joining a pirate crew. And this crew comes upon a Shi'ar supply ship that's just a few days out of Shandalar, and they're very eager to attack it. But some of the crew says, you know, we've never gone up against the Shi'ar before, and their interstellar computers are the most sophisticated known in the cosmos, and there's no way we can jam them with the junk we have on board. And the captain's not real happy to be second-guessed when Thanos says, well, I can jam the systems. And the captain is surprised, saying, well, who are you? I've never even seen you before. And Thanos, with his superior intellect, says, there, I just did it. And indeed, they're able to attack the Shi'ar vessel and pillage it at will. And as Thanos stands back, he watches the other crew members slaughter many of the Shi'ar soldiers. And the captain notices that Thanos just stands there and watches. And his response to that is, every man on my crew kills for his pay, boy. I haven't seen you kill a damn thing. And Thanos reminds the captain that if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't be standing on the vessel at all. The captain doesn't necessarily like that answer, but it seems that he's willing to go along with it for what Thanos can bring him, even though he says, so that's it, you're good with your hands when all you're doing is poking at machinery. When it comes to spilling blood, you're nothing special, huh? And he turns to the crew and says, do you hear that? Thanos doesn't have the heart for killing. And Thanos' response to that is, no, and I never will. And you almost wonder, is he perhaps afraid to kill because he's done it so many times? You know, it's kind of like somebody who has an addiction, right? He went cold turkey after he killed his mother, and he's been able to resist the urge to kill for so long. The last thing he wants to do is start killing again, because he fears that he might not be able to stop. So we get a more exposition. Says Thanos grew weary of being a pirate almost as quickly as he grew weary of being a father, but he couldn't tear himself away from either pursuit. So we see that as Thanos travels around the galaxy, he's just going through the motions, trying to feel something, to feel anything. He's mating with alien after alien and fostering all these children all across the galaxy. He's watching his crewmates kill and pillage and murder people. And he doesn't take part, but he just observes, just again, hoping to feel something, to feel anything, to love again with one of these alien women as he once loved before. And And we know that to be the mysterious girl he left back on Titan. So we see Thanos again siring a child and saying to that child, is there a monster inside you as well, little one? Or is it just me? And we also find out that no matter the planet or the alien race he chose to mate with, all of Thanos's offspring were healthy and strong, but they all look like their mothers, and he would abandon them so early that none would remember their father. Also, his pirate crew continues to kind of needle him over his inability or lack of desire to kill. They believe him to be a coward in a way. And Thanos quickly loses count of how many women there were, how many children he left behind, and how many people he'd seen slaughtered. But all he knew is it was never enough. Never enough to make him care or allow him to feel anything. And every word from every woman's lips, every devoted wife that he had, would just ring hollow to him. And the more they loved him, you know, his strength, his intelligence, his cunning, the more quickly he grew bored of them, and the sight of them disgusted him. I think in a way, Thanos is so filled with self-hatred that anyone who could love him, he's got to see as damaged, right? Like, what the hell is wrong with them that they would love me and allow me to sire children upon them? So, and again, from the same perspective, these pirates are of nothing but amusement to him. You know, they're beneath him. I'm sure he feels contempt for them in a way. You know, they're carrying on what they believe to be important conquests and pillaging and living a life of freedom, thinking themselves fearsome men and ministers of death. But Thanos pities them in a way because they don't truly understand death, not the way that Thanos seems to. So as Thanos is out here in the galaxy, he thinks of his mother from time to time, but as for the rest of his homeworld and the rest of the people he left behind there, he tries to put them out of his mind, most especially her. He tried not to wonder if she missed him, if she'd heard stories of his exploits, tried not to think of her at all. He really and truly tried, but we know that this mystery girl, the one person who ever seemed to understand him, could never really be far from his thoughts. So one day, as Thanos and his crewmates are on a ship pillaging it, he gets a warning from one of his fellow crewmates saying, the next time that we dock at port, you should stay, because if you stay on the ship, the captain's going to try to kill you. And Thanos says, well, who would keep the ship running, right? Who would make the captain seem competent or find our targets? And his crewmate asks him, Thanos, did you hear what I said? And he makes no reply. And once again, we see him with his latest wife asking why he won't talk to her. And Thanos says, all we ever do is talk. And maybe this wife of Thanos is more insightful than most. She says, no, I talk while you pretend to listen, and not very convincingly. Your mind is rarely here, and your heart, it seems, has never been. So where are they? Where do you go? I love you. Tell me, and I'll go with you. And Thanos responds to her, where my mind goes, woman, you would not wish to follow. So he leaves her, as he's left so many wives and children before, and heads for his ship. And that same crew member who warned him not to come back sees him about to board and says, you're a stupid son of a Badoon, Thanos of Titan. And Thanos says, maybe we'll see once and for all what I really am. And indeed, when he boards the ship, the captain does attack him, and Thanos doesn't fight back. And the captain says, I won't tolerate cowards on my ship. Pick up that sword and fight me. Pick it up and die like a man. And Thanos says, let's be honest. It's not cowards you're afraid of. It's anyone with half a brain, which is exponentially more than you possess. And he just seems to be goading the captain, who then stabs Thanos one more time. And the captain threatens Thanos and says he's going to basically drape his ship in Thanos's guts, and asks what Thanos thinks of that. And again, Thanos goads him, saying, don't be ridiculous. There aren't enough intestines in my body to adorn a ship of this size. And he gets stabbed again by the captain. And finally, the captain says, well, let's see how smart you are with no damn head. And as time slows to a crawl, Thanos thinks to himself, maybe this is it. Is this why I've suffered so long and endured so much and killed and abandoned so many so I could die here on a muddy, forgettable moon at the hands of a half-witted pirate? And Thanos closes his eyes and perhaps surrenders in a way. But when he opens his eyes, not only is he not dead, he feels like he's just been born and the captain lies dead at his feet. So you can almost think of it as Thanos's subconscious not letting him give up. You know, once he closes his eyes and lets go, he really does become his true self. And that is a murderer. So the rest of the crew all hail Captain Thanos. He is now the leader of the crew. And we then see one of the wives and children he's left across the galaxy, with the mother comforting the child, telling him to hush. I miss him too, but not to worry. Your father will be home soon. But where Thanos actually goes is back to Titan, to the grave of his mother, where he tells her, I've come home because I'm tired of running from who I am and who I was born to be. And then we get a shadowy figure coming up behind Thanos saying, I hope your mother wasn't the only woman you came back to Titan to see. And it's Thanos' mysterious childhood friend, the only woman he's ever professed to love. And she remarks on how he's grown and that he should be careful taking in the sights because everyone on Titan knows that Thanos killed his mother. Everyone but Thanos' father, that is. And Thanos is surprised to see her and wonders how she knew he was possibly going to be there, how she knew he was coming home, and because he himself didn't know it until suddenly he was there. And she remarks, Thanos, I've always known you better than you know yourself. Isn't that why you're here? And Thanos admits that, yes, I've missed you. And his friend responds, have you now? Then why do you reek of alien harlots and mewling bastards? Tell me, do you think it makes you a man having sowed your wild oats all through outer space? And Thanos remarks how much he really has seen. So many women from more alien races than he knew existed, and he sired offspring on most of them, and he swore off murder, and he tried to live as other men did, but it just didn't work. He tried to have some manner of fulfillment in his life, but he failed, and that's why he's come back. And he goes on to say, the only woman who ever truly understood him or filled his heart with love was her, the one woman worth the pain of living. But of course, she rejects him once again and taunts him, saying, and you think I've just been waiting around all this time for your touch? And Thanos responds, well, yes, I think you need me as much as I need you. And I think whatever it is you want, just tell me, and I can give it to you. And her response is to be careful what Thanos wishes for. And if he would have her give him everything, first he'll need to do the same. And that means knowing that he belongs only to her. Do you understand what that means, Thanos? And Thanos does. And he starts heading across the galaxy, starting with the mother who was telling her child that Thanos was a good man, not a cruel man, and he would be home someday. And indeed, he does come back home. And as she presents his son to him, Thanos murders the child, murders her, and then turns to his beloved, the only woman he's ever loved, and asks if that's enough. And her response is that all of them? And Thanos, of course, says no. And she says, then it's not enough. And taunts him further, saying, you want to be loved, don't you? And Thanos says, that's all I've ever wanted. And her response is, then come, you've got a lot more people to kill. And it's to be continued in the next issue. So clearly she's going to have him set out across the galaxy, killing all those that Thanos has lain with and all those children that he has sired. So it's interesting, right? Like Thanos had finally perhaps sought to sever his final link to Titan by killing his mother. You can't really believe that he ever thought he would find out the origins to the evil within him, the monster within him, by cutting open his mother. He's far too smart for that. But he just felt it was something that he had to do. And perhaps it satisfied him. It sated his bloodthirstiness for quite a while. And to his credit, he did go out. He did join that crew of pirates. And despite the temptation, the constant temptation to join them in their slaughters, he never did. He did really try. He tried to do anything he could to make himself care and to make himself feel. And perhaps if he had been successful, we wouldn't have the Thanos that we know today. But you just wonder, right? It piles up on the list of things where you think, man, there are so many events in Thanos's life where if things had just gone a little differently, he could have become something so much different, perhaps even a hero. You know, he's got incredible intelligence, incredible strength, and very keen intellect, curiosity, so many things necessary for a great leader, charisma in a way. But through the encouragement of this mystery girl who still seems to hold his heart, he's turned to the dark side. And despite various times in his life, like when he first set off on his own and found a woman to marry and have a child with, he perhaps could have found peace. He could have found something more if he only was allowed to feel. Then you could also look at it as another way, right? Rather than so close to being somehow completely different, you can look at it as Thanos was never in danger of being anything but what he was. He couldn't deny his true nature, no matter how many wives he took and how many sons he sired. He was never able to overcome that which was inside him, that which was at his core, that which his mother saw at the moment of his birth when she said that she saw death in his eyes. So perhaps despite the early scenes we saw of Thanos as a mild-mannered child, he was destined never to be anything but the murderer and the mad titan that he always turned out to be. So it's interesting and really good storytelling from Jason Aaron that he's able to tell a story where you can reconcile or make an argument for either one of those perspectives on Thanos as a character. So, as I said, incredible storytelling. The great art by Simon Bianchi continues. There are times where the art is a little rougher than others, but it always conveys great detail, great emotion, and really visceral action. And I also have to call out the color work by Eve Zvorchina. It's excellently done. A lot of purples and blues, which again helps set the tone and the mood for telling the story of Thanos and watching this progression of him at various times trying to do the right thing or trying to keep his baser urges in check. But ultimately, it's for naught because Thanos always ends up giving in to what he is at his core. So again, really, really great art. I don't know that I've ever specifically mentioned this somewhat of a mature title. There is a lot of blood and a lot of killing in this book. It probably goes without saying, but I want to make sure I point that out, not for the faint of heart in the slightest. So two issues of Thanos Rising to go. And we'll be covering those on the next couple of Saturdays. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. Want to thank everybody for joining. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.